The history of housing discrimination in Anchorage is murky. For decades, Black and Alaska Native residents were barred from buying or renting homes in most neighborhoods of the growing city through a combination of formal and informal means. One of the most pervasive were restrictive covenants on the deeds of a property that forbade selling to minorities. Though no longer legal, thousands of homes across Anchorage still technically have discriminatory covenants on the books. Now, as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, the Assembly is trying to figure out what to do about them.
Richard Watts was just 3 years old when his father moved the family from Philadelphia to Anchorage in the winter of 1949.
And he had heard about this place called Alaska where you could make some money in, and you had to work for it, but there was jobs available.
Now in his 70s, Watts lives in a house on the hillside that he designed himself before retiring from a long career working for local grocery retailer Cars. His family came up at a time when federal investment was pouring into Anchorage and builders were needed to expand nearby military bases. The population boomed and it was hard finding housing, even more so for the expanding number of Black workers and their families. The Watts found a place downtown where there was a cluster of Black businesses and families.
Right there where Office Max is right now. Right, if you go in Office Max's front door, that's probably where our house was.
From the boom years after World War II into the 60s, most of Anchorage's Black community lived in the neighborhood known today as Fairview, which at one point included an unincorporated portion known as East Chester Flats. According to municipal figures, in the mid-50s, Anchorage's population was approaching 35,000, and about one-sixth of its residents were Black, almost all of whom lived in the flats, with some others scattered through downtown and homesteads in what's now called Midtown.
There was no housing development in Anchorage that a Black could live in.
Watts says that with a few exceptions, Black and Alaska Native residents were confined to just one part of town.
One thing about discrimination in Anchorage, Alaska versus discrimination in Lower 48, in Lower 48, it was in your face. In Anchorage, Alaska was hidden.
But one policy that's still evident even decades later is the restrictive covenants attached to houses and developments in neighborhoods all over Anchorage.
Sand Lakes, Bernard, South Addition, North Star, parts of Fairview, Rogers Park, Airport Heights, Nunaka Valley.
David Reamer is a historian in Anchorage and says he's looked through hundreds of deeds that include discriminatory covenants barring the sale of homes to anyone who wasn't white.
And I found an expansion of these that matched the population expansion in Anchorage itself. There wasn't a real Black population in Anchorage until the city itself expanded eightfold in the late 40s.
In addition to the actual deeds, Reamer and his co-author on a recently published historical article also did interviews with people who lived through the time period, and they found a number of 1980s cassette tape recordings of Black residents talking about race relations and housing discrimination.
I stopped to look at some property.
Many of them, like Osha May Curry, spoke about the same mix of tactics that kept Black residents from living where they wanted.
The man said flatly to me, "This property is not for sale to you." I said, "What do you mean, to me?" He said, "Well, you go to your people and buy property if you want property."
Another challenge was building supplies. There weren't many. A lot of the housing stock in the boom years was built by developers who had access to capital and financing. Joe Jackson was a realtor and says without sizable bank loans available, many minorities built or expanded their homes out of material scrounged from military bases and dumps. As a result, a lot of the housing stock was abysmal.
So it wasn't the kind of a house that you would call house. It was a shack, actually a crate that was shipped here with big parts in it for the Air Force.
Houses made of salvaged lumber, tar paper, and other cast-off materials didn't accrue much equity, so property ownership for many residents didn't translate to wealth or upward mobility. Reamer recently presented his research to members of the Anchorage Assembly. some of whom are formulating a measure to address all the covenants still in place. Assemblymember Meg Zolotel says right after hearing Reamer speak, she looked up the documents attached to her own home in Rogers Park and got a surprise.
It basically is one where it's not blatant, it's like hidden racism built into the covenant. It's worded in such a way that it's obvious that people of color are not welcome.
Zolotel says finding out her family's home is tied to such a contract was made all the more troubling by the fact that her daughter is Black. And even though the discriminatory parts of the covenant are no longer legally enforceable, Zolotel says policymakers need to figure out a way to address the town's historical record on racism and housing in a more concerted way.
I think we need to preserve the record. I think when you simply just go in correct the record to update it into current terms, you lose the historical perspective. I think it's good to know where did it happen in Anchorage, who was marginalized.
Zolotel isn't sure exactly what shape the eventual assembly measure will take, but she wants local community councils representing neighborhoods across town to be part of the process. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.